Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, some puzzling All-Australian decisions, including the captaincy. Silly season has started, and we look at the clubs from 9th down to 18, how they look for next year and how they performed this season.
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Quarters, I tuned in...
Silly season, Duff, it started already.
Well, it did. It started last night. Glenn Quartermain, sorry.
How are you, Duff?
Sports editor of the Sunday Times. I'm Mark Duffield, the chief footy writer of the West Australian. So the stand-up comedy started last night. I turned on Fox Footy to watch the All-Australian Awards, and Lance Franklin was named captain.
So eight All-Australians, thoroughly deserves his spot in the team, in my opinion, but I just scratch my head about the captaincy. I want to know what the reasoning is. There is no reasoning. It's a reward on merit. It's a reward on past deeds. He's not in the leadership group. We need a captain. We need someone in the leadership group. It was the same last year with Rance. And I'll go an extension to that, Duff. I think we're all... believe Shannon Hearn should have been the captain, and that's not coming from a WA parochial point of view. I think he deserved the captaincy this year. Why wasn't he even vice captain?
Well, also, do they not have TVs in Victoria? I mean, you're from there, you'd know. There are televisions in Victoria, aren't there not?
Oh, there are, yes.
So Shannon Hearn has had pretty close to a flawless season.
Yes, he has.
Now, I would argue that clearly they must have intermittent TVs in Victoria where they watch some of the footy, but they don't watch all of the footy.
I think we've been seduced by Buddy and what he brings to the table. I just want to know, I want transparency, I want a formula for picking the captain, because I think they just throw it up in the air and say, you can have it this year. I really can't understand it. I really can't.
You don't need a formula. You've got a person in Shannon Hearn who's earned his spot in the team and he's earned his stripes as a captain. Look, I think they should, if they were going to do comedy, they should have gone all the way. Gillon McLachlan's tall, he's athletic. He could have been named at centre half back. I know he's never done it before at AFL level, but what the hell?
Mm.
I mean, that's pretty much what they've said with Lance Franklin.
Now,
Lance, if you wanted people to lead your team down to the local pub, Lance is your bloke. If you want a person who's going to lead an Australian team, he's probably not your bloke.
Lance can lead with his skills on the field, that's for sure. But he's not a true captain. He's not a true leader of people on and off the field. And that's where Shannon Hearn comes into it. And so I just think that they've missed an opportunity here. Thankfully, he made the side and thoroughly deserved that. But they have missed an opportunity here. The other opportunity they've missed, stuff. I just can't get the All-Australian coach being the premiership coach. He may well be most years, but I think that should be named at the same time as well. And for mine, it's Nathan Buckley, amongst two or three very good candidates. But I think the All-Australian coach should be named at the same time. Another opportunity missed there. And the one I really scratch my head about, as great a player as Shane Edwards is, he's a great little player. Mm. But I can't see how he's ahead of McRae, Devon Smith or Elliot Yeo. And I'm still puzzled why Coniglio wasn't in the 40, because he's ahead of Edwards for mine. So those three, I mean, Devon Smith has laid forget what he's done with his foot skills. He's laid an AFL record number of tackles this year, 180-odd. He's had a great year, Devon Smith.
I don't mind there being four Richmond players in it. I just think Shane Edwards shouldn't have been, and Josh Caddy should have been.
Yeah, so you could argue Josh Caddy takes Jack Gunston's spot. I think every player there deserves it, but some deserve it more than others, if you know what I mean. It's a funny way to say it, but I think you're right. Caddy probably should have got the nod ahead of Edwards on the bench, if not in a forward pocket next to Gunston.
And if they wanted to pick a legacy captain, like i.e. a captain based over a series of performances over a number of years and not just this year, which clearly is what they've done with Lance Franklin.
And Rance was captain last year, let's not forget.
Well, what about Jack Revolt? You know, has changed his game, sacrificed his game, plays a critical team role for his club. I mean, Buddy's just Buddy. And I had Buddy in my team, and I would have Buddy in my team every day of the week. Lance Franklin, to me, is the most watchable player of my of this generation of footballers. And I think the best player of this generation of footballers, I have him ahead of all the big-bodied gun midfielders and Gary Ablett and Dane Swan and Jimmy Bartel and all that crew. I think Lance Franklin is quality goods in a different sort of package to all those people. But he ain't a captain. He's probably never going to be at AFL level.
Doesn't need to be, Duff. He's not that sort of player and not that sort of person. He is what he is. So why make him All-Australian captain? It's an honour he doesn't deserve and shouldn't get. There's no need for it.
I think it's embarrassing. I just think, you know, people will shrug it off and laugh it off and they'll call it ceremonial and they'll call it that. I think it's an embarrassment. I just think you had a person who's done an outstanding job as captain of his club this year and he should have been named the captain of that team. It shouldn't have even been a thought process. If you don't have a captain in your best 22, a club captain of a successful team, then you look for someone with leadership qualities within the team. But when the second place team's captain is in there and has clearly earned his spot as a player, he is the captain of the team.
I was rapt to see Gaff there too on that wing. Looked a bit shell-shocked still, Gaff. We know what happened late in the year. No point in going over that again. He's paying the price now. But I'm glad he got an All-Australian spot and, you know, does not look out of place out there.
No, he earned his spot in the team. I think you and I both had him in our team.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I think all the rest of the conversations you can have about the team are just debates, aren't
they? Yeah, they are. I mean, Tom Stewart in the back pocket, I've sort of flew the flag for him a little bit, even though I didn't have him in my side. I made apologies for him.
Yeah.
He deserves his spot. You could have an argument that others deserve it more, but, you know, at the
Steel
end of the day...
Steel Sidebottom or McRae.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not uncomfortable with him in that back pocket, that's for sure.
That's all fine, but the captaincy, I'm going to be scratching my head for some time.
Yep.
And I don't have, you know, my hair is gradually thinning, so I don't want to scratch my head too much.
No.
Okay, Glenn, let's go through the teams that missed the eight.
Okay, we don't want to talk about the other silly season just yet.
Lachie Neale to Brisbane.
Lachie Neale, Brisbane's put its pick four on the table, flying a kite there saying, and then the name Lachie Neale pops out of thin air. So Lachie's contracted to the end of next year. Will probably win Freo's Best and Fairest, he or Mundy this year.
Yeah.
I don't think Freo would be too keen to get to make that happen, as enticing as a pick four would be.
Well, trading out your best players to get good kids in work really well for Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
That's just inviting 5 years of pain. Lachie Neale is young enough to play in a grand final team if Fremantle gets its rebuild right, and that's what they'll be aiming to do. Lachie Neale, Nathan Fyfe. It may come too late for people like Stephen Hill and Michael Walters, but Lachie Neale and Nathan Fyfe, they will be the generation of players they will hope will be senior players when Fremantle next contends for a flag. So you don't trade that player out.
So just on that subject, we've got Carlton. Obviously, Mitch McGovern has signalled he wants out. Carlton's the team in the frame, but Adelaide's prepared to negotiate. Where are they going to negotiate here? How's this going to work? This clearly not trading away pick one. I'd be loath to trade away. Just say their priority pick comes after. Say it's pick nine after the top eight teams have had their picks. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I'm still not trading that out for Mitch McGovern. It's a good top end draft. It's a good draft. It goes deep. How deep it is, we don't know yet. But I think certainly the top end is great. So, and I'm saying, look, do Carlton have a stab in the dark? Go for Lukosius with pick one, the Adelaide boy, or Rankin? Or do they go with Walsh from the Geelong Falcons, who's a Victorian country boy? That's where I'd be leaning with them. But how does Adelaide get for those picks, those early picks, to get in Lukosius, who they're desperate for?
So this is going to take an exchange of picks.
Mm.
That's what's going to have to happen. But the problem is, to get Lukosius, it probably has to be a top three draft pick. And the only top three draft pick that Carlton has is pick one. I don't think you trade pick one.
No.
Not for Mitch McGovern.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
So that's going to be a big decision for the Blues to make.
Maybe Adelaide can trade in a pick three, give McGovern out with a, you know, that's the exchange of picks, perhaps.
Or maybe Mitch McGovern ends up going somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe. Like, or over here.
He doesn't appear to be happy at Carlton, you know. Like, I tell you, the pick that might nearly get it done if West Coast threw something else in with it is probably West Coast's first pick in the draft, and then he gets to play with his brother.
Mm.
So maybe that's, you know, something that could happen. I'm not sure how Fremantle makes it happen unless they get back into one of those picks in the teens. But also, if I'm Carlton and I've got Mitch McGovern on two more years of contract, I might be saying to Mitch McGovern, mate, you signed, you can suck it up and stay.
So for any supporters out there, when you hear your favourite player's name mentioned, this is going to be a really silly period of time. Just draw a breath and don't assume it's fact. There's a lot of kite flying down at this time of year.
Well, I'll give you a classic example. Obviously, there have been the rumours about Brad Hill wanting to leave Fremantle, and at some point this week he was linked to Brisbane because of the Chris Fagan connection.
Yep.
I believe Brad Hill had a fairly blunt conversation with someone close to him, and it basically was Brisbane, that would be the last place I'd want to go.
Mm. Good city, Brisbane, but yeah, I get his point.
I love Brisbane. You know, I spent a lot of time in Brisbane in the golden Brisbane Lion days of between 1999 and 2004. It was a great place to be, and the footy club was really relaxed, so as a journo, they were great to
deal with. That's beside the point, though. I don't think we'd see Bradley Hill going to Brisbane.
No. Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Let's go through. Look, let's go through the teams that didn't make it, Duff.
Yep.
We'll start. We'll go in order. We'll go start with North Melbourne. 12 wins, 10 losses, 108.9%. Strange season. Lost to the Gold Coast first up, and then reeled off wins against Hawthorn, Sydney, GWS, and were right in the frame. Ultimately, couldn't get it done. But you know, you give ticks to Sean Higgins, Cunnington, Ben Brown, another 50 plus year. Magic Doors development in defence, and I guess yes, they need a big fish. We hear they're close to getting that in Pollock. They weren't helped with a concussion injury to Ben Jacobs that had him out of the team for a large part of the season. But I reckon it's a bit of a big tick for North this year, given most of us picked them in the bottom three.
I give him a big tick. The question I would ask is next year, let's say they land one of Pollock and Gaff. Are they better placed to play finals or not?
With one of those, they have to be better placed with the squad they've got right now. There's no great outs. I see they've delisted Hartung.
Yeah.
I sort of scratch my head a bit there. I'm not sure what their point is there. An outside run is what they need. He's never going to be an inside midfielder. But anyway, and I hear they've got a little bit cold on Taron Thomas, who's this kid that everyone's been talking up.
That's the Tasmanian
boy? He's the Tasmanian kid from their next generation academy.
Yeah.
A few off-field issues have them a little bit wary. But there's big talk of this kid. I think a big fish had them closer to the frame. They're well coached. The squad goes pretty deep. It's really honest. They're a really honest team, North. So for that reason, I would still expect them to be pushing for the eight next year.
Same bracket of clubs, probably in that 7 to 12
yep.
region. Agreed?
Yep, I do. 10th, Port Adelaide, 12 wins, 10 losses, 107.6%. Round 16, 12 and 4.
Well, round 15, 11 and 4.
Yeah, so, and then they just dropped away. Their forward half pressure fell away, and really it was the end of them. They did have some injuries. I would say that was a real negative for them. Hamish Hartlett with an ACL. Paddy Ryder was never right, really.
No.
And you'd have to give a cross to, you know, the recruiting at this stage of Watts, Rockcliffe and Motlop. You know, Gray had another good year. Wines was pretty good up until late. Defence was great. Jonas, Howard, Cleary, Houston, very good defence. But this is a bad year for Port. We expected them to play finals. We expected them to be sort of knocking on that top four. And I think it's a very important year for both Port and Ken Hinckley next year, particularly the first half.
So they're now out of the eight, 3 out of 4 years. And in the other year, they finished fifth, but lost their final in extra time to West Coast. Shows you how narrow the margins are. Lack of connection between their mids and forwards. The loss of hunger for the contested ball in the last 6 or 7 weeks, which made it even more intriguing that at parts of that time, Sam Palpepper was left out of the team as a contested ball
Curious.
Monster. And I think the other thing is you probably, in fairness to them, have to say a watershed fortnight, the showdown into the game against West Coast, could have easily won both of those games. And then, you know, where are they after that? They're pushing for the top four. So,
What do you think number one need? They need a second ruckman, don't they? And which is why they're going hard after Lysette. They need someone to back up Paddy Ryder, who's not getting any younger.
Yeah, well, they played Billy Frampton in the last game. He didn't look
all right, didn't he?
Yeah. Didn't look completely out of it.
Carl Dittrich.
bit of Carl Dietrich about him. Took a couple of big clunks. Yeah. He's been around for 3 or 4 years.
And that's South Freo boy.
That's usually the gestation time for a for an AFL ruckman. So I think if they could get Lysette, that would be good. Clearly, Ryder's starting to show some physical effects of a pretty long and pretty glorious career.
Missed a bit of footy too, don't forget, with the Essendon drug scandal.
He did, but rucks are very difficult position to play. And yep. Paddy's a jumping ruckman.
Yep.
So when he loses that ability to jump, he's probably going to be in trouble. The other thing about Paddy, he's 197, and he's rucking against 201, 203, 205-centimetre monsters these days. And Paddy's a great kick for goal, so you could rest Paddy inside attacking 50 as a foil for someone like Charlie Dixon, and if he got four looks at it during the course of a game, he's likely to kick three of them.
11th, Essendon, 12 and 10, 105.1%. I think we can pretty well sum up rounds 2 to 8 cost them. They lost 6, so yep. They would be playing finals if not for that. They were great after the bye, particularly. Run-off half-back was, I guess, the real eye-catching thing about Essendon this year. Ticks for recruit String Assad and Smith, who I said earlier, later, AFL record of 187 tackles this year. That's not... it's apart from what he did with the footy and with his run. Half forward, Bagley, Connor McKenna, Heppel, a tick. I guess the crosses would be in. They did have some injuries to key players.
Danaher, mainly Danaher and Fantasia.
Danaher and Fantasia. and sort of they didn't really know where to play Cale Hooker. Does he play forward? Does he play back? But he probably plays back. Merritt had a tough year with the tags. But I think it's a really hard one, isn't it? I think they... They still cost themselves in those 6 early losses. So disappointing they're not playing finals, but I'd be very surprised if they're not playing finals next year.
Yeah, I think anything less than top 6 next year, and I think the Bombers would be kicking themselves. They'd want to be in the 8 and they'd want to be playing second week of the finals. I think the loss that hurts is the one to Carlton. So Carlton beat two teams this year, and one of them was Essendon. When you look back on it, that's big in the
course
of the
season. That's a winnable game. Yeah. 12th position, Adelaide, 12 and 10, 104.1. That was 6 and 3 at round 9, and then lost 4 in a row. And the two things that happened with them were as the well-discussed pre-season camp.
And that goes on.
And it goes on now, even now, despite their denials. And their denials also with their change in focus with their pre-season, which led to a spate of hamstring injuries, which they denied was actually apparent, but clearly it was. They had 12 hammies at one stage, I think. So the crosses for those. Great years from Laird and Greenwood, a real development year. And Darcy Fogarty's a player that jumped out at me. I think he only played 10 games, but looks a real package. We know they're going after a Lukosius and they're going to be active.
Do you think that Fogarty means they can let McGovern go?
Yeah, I do. I do. I like him. I'd like to keep him on my list if possible, but they need to be active, Adelaide. Adelaide, if they can put, if you erase this year, which is hard to do, they were in good nick. They got beaten up on grand final day by a very good team. They had a great year last year. So they need to focus on what got them there and forget all the nonsense forget the Power Rangers stances, forget the preseason camps. Focus on what got you there. And that's a really tight-knit group, a good coach. Don Pike's a good coach. There's a lot of talent on that list. They go deep. They can make the 8 again next year if they get it right.
If you were picking your 8 for 2019...
They're going to be in there for me.
You have Adelaide
in? Yep.
Yeah, I think I probably will too. I'm still just scratching my head in absolute disbelief about the whole collective mind stuff. Mm. Why collective minds would want to put themselves back in the public eye by holding that press conference earlier in the week, I find mind-boggling. I also find mind-boggling...
Well, it's brand damage control, because there's been a lot of damage to that brand, and they're just trying to get themselves back on the map. But I'm not sure if I'd go near it.
Yeah, all they're doing is reminding people of the damage they've done to their brand.
Yeah. We just had some news, which we should... Breaking news stuff, which doesn't often have during the podcast. West Coast Eagles coach Adam Simpson has re-signed until the end of 2022, is it? So good news for the Eagles?
Yeah, I think they'll be... Well, clearly they're up to their eyeballs in it this year. I would expect them to be about the place next year and possibly 2020 as well. So that gives him, I think, 3 good goes at it. And then I think a couple of years to get something started on a next generation and show some green shoots, if you like. So that's probably probably pretty apt.
13th position this year, the Western Bulldogs, 8-14, 77.3 percentage. Great finish to the year, the Dogs. I think it was a quick rebuild, if you like, from Beveridge. I think the ticks for me were Ed Richards, who's going to be some player. Aaron Norton, blooding him into the team. The Lipinski file, he was impressive.
Billy Gowers, I thought.
Billy Gowers had a really good year. Son of Andy, ex-Hawthorne Premiership player. I thought I'd just get that one in.
Bit tougher than Andy, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Andy was pretty good. Don't worry. Ran into a goalpost, I reckon, once. But when you look at the Bontz, Dunkley, Daniel, Hunter, McRae, McLean, if Wallace stays, we're still not sure. I think he will now. There's still the nucleus there for them to achieve something. Did have their injuries. Easton Wood, picking with his concussion issues, and good to see him overcoming them. That's the word at the moment. He'll start next preseason. Libba, Redpath, Boyd and Dalhouse were all injured at some point. Dalhouse is some question
Geelong.
Marks. Yeah, at Geelong. But I think the Western Bulldogs, for me, I didn't know where they were going. They were meandering, and I was concerned for them. But I reckon there was a great finish. And if you're a Western Bulldogs fan, I think you can have optimism that you'll be a bit like North Melbourne. There's every reason to believe you could make that the eight or be in the sort of that 8th to 12th bracket next year.
So if you were to look at their finals prospects, likely, possible, probable?
I think possible.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there are really good signs. I love the way they finished the season. Love Richards, love Gowers. Love the fact that Bonton, Pelly, Hunter, Daniel and their other really good ball users,
McRae
were influencing games heavily at the end of the season.
And look, I forgot to mention Johannesson too. I liked his season because he was there when it was really hard.
Mm.
He grew on me this year. Johannesson had a good year.
Okay. So, of course, some talk that Jordan Ruffhead may be interested in joining West Coast. We'll watch that proceed. Probably not until after the season because West Coast will be going fairly deep into September. And I guess the other one problematic for them is Tom Boyd. His ongoing struggles, unable to get on the park and play consistently.
Good Norwood Secondary College boy, Duff. Same high school as me in the obscure eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
Tom Boyd?
Yeah, until they realised he could play and private school jumped in.
Well, hopefully our last great look at Tom Boyd won't be the 2016 grand final.
And if it is, I'll tell you what, it's a pretty good game. So 14th position, Fremantle, 8-14, 76.2 percentage, won three of the first five, and it was just a struggle from then. You know, they beat Adelaide, Essendon, Port Adelaide along the way. For me, the ticks, pretty obvious ones, Pierce, Dumann, Wilson in the back half, Chera, Brayshaw and Banfield, they're all ticks. I think Cox and Taberner as well. I think Taberner came back into the team late, but I like the two of them and the continuing development as forwards. Real question marks over Brandon Matera and real question marks over McCarthy.
Yep.
Big seasons required, particularly from McCarthy next year.
Last year of his contract next year.
Yeah.
And they've told Harley Bennell it's make or break for him next year after all his calf muscle issues. I reckon there's a chance that neither Bennell or McCarthy will be at the club
at the end of the season?
For 2020. So to me, a bit of an attitude adjustment required at Fremantle. I think, and maybe this is as much the supporters as it is the club hierarchy, when McCarthy and Bennell arrived, they were seen as saviours. You know, Bennell to add class and run to the midfield and McCarthy to give them a tall target to aim at. They have to park that idea now. Whatever they get out of Bennell and McCarthy is a bonus now.
Yeah, so McCarthy becomes your second, third forward. You build your forward structure around a Taberner or a Cox, and you have... and as far as Bennell goes, we all know what he can produce, but it's been so long since he's done it. So
yeah.
I see why they've given him a year. They've put too much work into him, but it's absolutely clear if it doesn't work this year, that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing about Freo, love Chera, love Brayshaw. So I think they've come across two top shelf players.
Paid a lot for them and deservedly so, I think.
And this is why it would just be absolutely nonsensical for them to trade Lachie Neal out at this point, because by the time, assuming Chera and Brayshaw do next year and then they play on into the following year, that is the year when they will have serious impact on games, and that is the year when people like Neal and Fife, and at that point, still Stephen Hill and Michael Walters can lead Fremantle back into a final series.
So Johnston and Pearce, the retirements, there'll be more delistings, but I think the one thing we do agree on is that there needs to be a focus on skill. There needs to be a focus on foot skill. There hasn't been in the past, and that's an area that Freo really needs to change.
So bottom three for scores for the last 3 years, that has to change. They cannot defend their way back into the top eight.
Yep.
I give them a tick for the 8 wins, but the nature of the losses, 9 losses by more than 50, 133 points with 23 unanswered goals,
yep.
The nature of the losses has to change, which means the gap between their best and worst has to reduce drastically, and they have to be able to put scoreboard pressure on.
If you can't hit targets consistently, you're not going to be in the contest.
Yep.
Having said that, I think their wins were a bit more convincing than they were last
Absolutely.
Year. Even though their losses were worse, their yep. wins were more convincing. So, look, there are positive signs there. I think Fife, if he can play more footy, he did have some hammy issues this year. Sandy will be playing his last year. He had a lot of injuries. We're not sure how much he's going to play next year. Both the Hills were injured. So if they get a little bit of luck along the way, you know, we can see some more improvement from Freo next year. I wouldn't expect them to be playing finals
so
just
unlikely
yet.
Unlikely finals.
I would say they're unlikely. 15th place, Brisbane, 5-15, 89.1. I think they took a real step forward. They lost only 2 games by 50 plus, and they lost 7 by that margin last year. So there's the improvement for mine. Witherden and Cutler, Hipwood, McInerney blooded in the ruck, Zorko and Dane Beams, great seasons, and Hodge, really good recruiting coy there at halfback, showed some leadership. They still only won 5 games, so let's not get too carried away, but I think they pulled Hawthorn's pants down twice,
yeah.
Showed them just offensive brutality and speed, just got them.
Bit of intellectual property there from
Chris Fagan. You've still got to go out and do it, and they did it in Tassie too, which is formidable. So I think, for me, I think we'll see, there's no way but up for Brisbane for me from here.
I would have them as a possible finalist.
Yeah, I'd say
year.
That's fair.
Not probable or likely, but possible. And I thought that they were the best team in the bottom six. So
yep.
there's quite a gap between 12th and the rest this year. I think they're the one team in all that group that you could see jumping, you know, far enough to contend for top eight. A lot of young talent. Obviously, a lot depends on how quickly someone like Rayner comes on and Jared Berry,
yep.
Hugh McLuggage, who developed quite significantly this year. If he can develop that significantly again next year. And the other one is Hipwood. You know, does Hipwood become a real star of the competition and a 50-goal-a-year player, or does he still become that guy who every now and again pops up and kicks 4 and then goes missing for a couple
of weeks? He's a forward, he's young, they do take a little bit of time. Wouldn't mind to see a little bit more experience in the midfield. That would be a bonus for them as well. But I think, you know, I think we can see the only way is up for them. The only way is not up for St Kilda, who finished 16th in mine. 4-17, 75.6%. Probably the most disappointing team in the comp, maybe for Port Adelaide and St Kilda for mine there. Ticks to Jade Gresham, 35 goals, Jack Steele, Jimmy Webster, Seb Ross. Got some games in, Hunter Clark, Nick Caulfield. But I think a bit like Freo, their foot skills were very poor. Their goal kicking was atrocious at times. Really cost them, probably cost them 2 or 3 games. So I think they need a bit of skill in that side. That's what they need for mine. They got Grunt. They just need a bit of polish and skill in that side.
So you look at their best mids. Seb Ross, prolific, but not a great ball user.
Yeah.
Jack Stephen, prolific, but not a great ball user. So you
haven't
right.
got any A-graders yet, really.
I did like Jack Steele's season,
yeah.
and particularly the end of the season. I thought he claimed a couple of big scalps at the end of the season.
Playing
sort of like an accountable mid sort of role, not full-blown tag.
But Carlisle had a reasonable year too, didn't he?
But you're right about the kicking.
Yeah.
Poor kicking to their forwards, and then poor kicking by their forwards at goal. I mean, they could have probably had 2 or 3 more wins had they used the ball.
Which still only gets them up to 7-8 wins, which for me is a real, it's just not where I saw Richard St Kilda going this year. I just really, perhaps I had too much faith in the squad, and that's why we need, I think they need some skill and polish in that side. It's a pity. It looks like if Gaff doesn't stay at West Coast, Essendon seems to be the main suitor now. Gee, St Kilda could use him.
Yep, they could use him. I'm interested in their targets that have been floated so far because I'm not sure that Dan Hannanbury improves
no,
their silky
doesn't.
Skills.
Well, he doesn't.
And Dan Menzel would just be on the end of things.
Very clever player. I love watching him play. But yeah, that's right. He's a very clever forward. But they need polish in the middle. That's what they should focus on.
And the other talk is that there's a big offer for Scott Lysett from St Kilda. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the coming weeks. But I would have thought that how keen West Coast are to keep Lysett depends heavily on his form in the next couple of games.
17th position, Gold Coast. 4 wins, 18 losses, 59.9%, and won 3 of their first 5, Duff. So won 3 of their first 5 and won 4 for the year. David Swallow will probably win their BNF. Lockie Weller, great, good year, but they gave a lot for him. You know, 2 early round picks. Alex Sexton, 28 goals for me is a plus. Took Miller, Jack Martin, look, he's slowly becoming a really A-grader, in my opinion. But I think for the negatives, you have clearly Tom Lynch is out, and there's a lot of destabilisation around Stephen May. I really want an answer soon from him, and if there's not an answer soon, move him on. Yep. I know you think that it's crucial they keep him. I want to see this team go forward, and if you can't have this destabilisation, they need to cement themselves and not have this.
They need to identify a leader. And they need to identify a senior player who is going to be around for the next 5 years. Now, if that's not Stephen May, then I'm happy to shift my position on Stephen May.
Yep.
I was of the opinion that Stephen May was upset that Tom Lynch was leaving and so therefore was more likely to stay himself. But if he's wishy-washy about staying, then identify someone like a David Swallow or someone like that, someone who you can build your team around and who the players will follow into battle and who they know is giving their all and preparing properly for every game.
So it's a hard first year for Stewie Jew. I like what he did earlier. He had him playing with real high intensity, and I think they were number one tackling team for the first 5 or 6 rounds, well, clearly. But after they just fell away after that, I think they just couldn't compete towards the end. So I think Carlton and Gold Coast are the two teams that I would have no issue with them receiving priority picks. 18th position, Carlton, 2-20. Gee, that makes bad reading. 59.3%. Patrick Cripps, superstar. Charlie Curnow will be. If he's not, Harry Mackay looks really, really promising. Ticks to Paddy Dow, Zach Fisher. Cade Simpson at 34 doesn't look like slowing down. Still looks like he can contribute. They had their injuries too, and they blooded some kids. But look, they need. I hope they don't trade out their early picks. If there's no, I don't want a sort of a set against these steak knives here.
Yeah.
What I didn't like was round 23 with a 2-man forward line. I just scratching my head about that. Still 7 days out, but I tell you, you'd have to have patience. And I've had patience as an observer, not a supporter. But it's been a long road for Carlton supporters. And, you know, Brendan Bolton's, he's been very patient, but there'll be pressure on him mid-year, I reckon, if there's not a massive improvement early from them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they need some more mature bodies in there. Too many kids. They were just too young, too often, for too long.
And what worries me is Cripps is doing so much, and he'll continue to be a superstar, but there's so much on his head, and he just needs a chop out. He needs some help.
So maybe another big-bodied mid. Maybe they should be looking at keep their top-end draft picks and look at trading a second rounder or something like that and get a good second-tier big-bodied mid who can come in and bang and crash and give Paddy Cripps a bit of a chop.
Where does Scott Walsh fit in that? Sam Walsh, sorry. Where does he fit in that?
Well, they have to keep the number one pick because Sam Walsh is a very good.
So he could fill that role down the track.
Well, he's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam Walsh is more your 184 midfielder. He's very silky. He's very hard-working. He's got a good tank. He's more your Hugh McLuggage type of mid than your Nathan Fife, Patrick Dangerfield, Dusty Martin.
You know what I like about Sam Walsh from what I've read? Sleeps with his footy. I like that. Handballs it against the wall and lives with his footy, mate. Loves it. Lives for his footy and loves his footy.
Do strange things in Victoria.
Didn't you ever sleep with your footy?
No.
I did, and my kids do. I love it.
My footy was always wet and muddy and
dirty. Yeah, so was mine. So my bed was always wet and muddy too. So.
We'll leave that there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, of the bottom two quarters, where do you see them finishing next year?
Bottom two? I see them finishing bottom two.
Yeah.
I can't see. It's going to have to be a dramatic improvement. There are always scope for that. But, you know, I just don't know where St Kilda's going. I do know where Brisbane's going. I can make cases for all the aforementioned clubs showing improvement, Fremantle included. I just can't see Carlton and Gold. It's going to be a bit of a haul still for Carlton and certainly for the Gold Coast. We've got some, there's going to be some more patience required.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder how much the travel schedule played into what happened with Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah, fair call.
Just, it was a very grueling
travel schedule. When was their first game at Metricon? Round 12? Is that right?
Something like that. Mm. And I think that had two effects, Quarters. I think that by the time they got there, they were exhausted, and so they didn't give a great account of themselves. And the other thing, by the end of the season, they were absolutely cooked, and so they didn't give a good account of themselves then either. And there were times in between where they played some quite reasonable footy, but it wasn't often enough. No. And I guess if you're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, it was the win over Sydney at the SCG, wasn't it?
Mm.
Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll be looking at the lead-in to a massive first week of the finals, talking about the implications, the availability of players, and I'm sure there'll be 140 more rumours we'll have to attend to by
more,
then, too, Quarters.
More.
That'll be fun.
That's just for tomorrow.
Not. Thank you for joining us. We were brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.